Hey, from New Jersey, it's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
And I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
John Trumbull, how are you? We're here in the merry, merry month of May, sir. We made it to May.
We did. Yes. They said it's going to be May, and they were right. They did not lie. May followed April. April, I think it was. Yes.
Absolutely. And where we're recording. We're recording on May the 4th. So may the 4th be with you. Have you heard that? Have you heard that, John? Have you heard anybody say that?
You see, okay, that's, you know, I have a little resentment for the whole May the 4th Star Wars thing. Because, you know, A, it premiered on May 25th.
Yeah, but it's like May the 4th.
I mean, I appreciate it. One thing, but I also kind of resent it because it is a significant date for Sherlock Holmes fandom, and it's all overshadowed by the whole Star Wars of it all.
Oh, so, I did not know this. How is this? What significance does Holmes play?
This is the day that Sherlock Holmes combated Professor Moriarty at the Reichenbach Falls.
Good Lord.
135 years ago today.
Wow.
1891.
Wow. How?
Yeah.
I was not aware.
So you're ashamed of yourself now, aren't you?
You know what? Yeah. I tried to start this off in some nice little small talk and clever banter, and now I feel nothing but shame.
No, but you didn't count on my fanboy bitterness.
So. I did not. No, yeah. I should always count on your fanboy bitterness.
You really should, because there's nothing that drives me more nuts than one of my personal fandoms being overshadowed by another fandom, and that's what May the 4th feels like every year for me now.
Wow, it's just like just killing your culture.
It's harshing my mellow, man.
Wow. All right.
Yeah. I don't like it. I don't like it.
All right. Well, that's okay.
Nah, it's fine. It's fine.
Now I know not to do this when rolls around.
No, it's fine. I'm in a mood. Just enjoy your Star Wars, everyone. I don't want to yuck your yum.
Okay.
So.
Okay, we're getting off to a rollicking start.
We really am. And you know why I'm in a bad mood?
Why?
Well, because this wasn't a good episode of Saturday Night Live. That's why.
Oh, okay. You mean the episode where Olivia Rodrigo does double duty?
Yeah. I'm talking about season 51, episode 18 from May the 2nd, 2026, where Olivia Rodrigo, who'd been a previous musical guest, comes back to host and musical guest, and I will just say didn't do a very good job, in my humble opinion.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think so.
As a host, I thought she was okay. I will admit, she really had her eyes glued onto those cue cards.
Oh, she was glued to the cue cards. And look, I mean, everybody reads the cue cards on SNL because you can't realistically memorize all that dialogue that's changing that much and all that. I'm not going to begrudge somebody for reading cue cards, but she was just so... She's not an experienced cue card reader, obviously.
Yeah. And that's weird because, like, she has done, I mean, she is a sort of a child actor and, you know, as she talks about in a monologue, and she, you know, used to be on Disney shows and whatnot. Yeah. So she's not like totally new to the acting game. I guess it just shows how much different TV acting is from sketch comedy acting with cue cards, I suppose.
Yeah. I mean, you can be an experienced actor, but you can still not be experienced at live television. So I think maybe that's what we were seeing here.
Yeah. You're coming out the gates saying this episode is a blows chunks. I thought it was okay, but like there are some.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks very much for listening, folks.
Wow.
We'll see you next week.
No.
Until then, nerds out.
No, hold on.
We
got to talk about it. Like, because I will say there are a couple sketches here that where I might meet your ire.
Okay,
and,
sure.
And not liking. But there are some I'm a little more forgiving of. So, but
all right. All right. Well, hey, we're going to have a healthy exchange of ideas here, I think.
Indubitably.
So, okay. So, should we dive in?
Dive in. Cold open.
Hegseth and Patel, Iran press briefing cold open. Because if SNL doesn't open with a press briefing, horrible things happen to Lorne Michaels' family.
That's right. As foretold in the prophecy.
We had a freaking assassination attempt at the White House Correspondents' Press dinner, which seemed like the obvious choice for a cold open. if you want to do a political cult, I mean, it seems like that is what you would go with. But no, let's do another press briefing. What the hell are we doing here, people?
Yeah, I will. This cold open, like, it's just rinse and repeat, cut and paste. We get Padilla as Caroline Levitt. She introduces Pete Hegseth again, Colin Jost again.
Yeah, I liked Jost Hegseth, but they've gone to the well so many times. I'm officially sick of it now.
Yeah, they've officially killed the golden goose. Like, it's the same thing they did with JJ's Trump and Alec Baldwin's Trump. They just reuse it over and over and over and over and over again to the point where it's like not even special anymore.
I mean, it's like familiarity breeds contempt. Like, if you see something maybe like once every 3 weeks, you can still be like, oh, hey, it's that thing. That's cool. I mean, but if you're seeing it every freaking week, it can get old really fast.
Yeah, it's like having pancakes for breakfast every day for a week or something. Pancakes great on Sundays, you know, once in a while, but if you have it every day for breakfast, you're going to get sick of it, and the smell of maple syrup is going to make you sick.
I call it the Domingo principle.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
There wasn't even that many Domingos, really, were there?
But there were so many in such a sustained period of time that it just, like, here's the thing with Domingo, and we'll get back to talking about Olivia Rodrigo in a minute, but, like, it went through the usual life cycle of an SNL sketch, but it did it within like a year's time, which I think is unreal. I mean,
yeah,
like it went from like the greatest thing ever. He's like, Marcello's making cameos at concerts and stuff as Domingo. And then by the time of the last Domingo sketch, it was like, everyone was like, yeah, we're over this.
Yeah. It was like that episode of The Simpsons where Bart came up with that "I didn't do it" catchphrase.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
By the end of the episode, everybody was sick of his "I didn't do it" catchphrase.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I just find fascinating about the Domingo thing is it burned through that cycle so damn quickly. Mm-hmm. So really good. Maybe that's just a reflection of our attention spans in general. Maybe it's just a reflection of how hard the show was hitting on Domingo. I don't know, but I find it interesting.
Yeah, it is very interesting. It really did. It burnt out really quickly. It's pretty wild. It's Hegseth. All these jokes I've heard before, like him, being the alpha bro, calling all the reporters cucks, and saying, "Hey, your mom's been riding on Pete's dragon." Pointing to his
Does
penis.
Anyone remember Pete's dragon?
No, I don't think so. That's a reference like only for, like, Gen Xers and
I'm
boomers.
A Gen Xer in my 50s. I barely remember Pete's Dragon. So
I kind of remember Pete's Dragon because I remember seeing it in a video store when I was a kid.
Yeah,
so
this has to be mystifying anyone who's in their 30s or even their 40s.
Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, for all the Gen Zs, extra parents, they might know.
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't even know if you can see Pete's Dragon on Disney Plus or anything. I mean, maybe you can. I don't know. Maybe. I haven't gone on a Pete's Dragon deep dive in quite a while.
You haven't dived into the PDU, the Pete's Dragon universe? Okay.
Is it a universe? Does everything have to be a freaking universe? I don't, just be a freaking movie.
I'm just trying to make a joke, John.
I know. I know you are. I didn't mean to snap at you, my love.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, I'm on your side, man.
I know. I know you are.
I'm on your side, man. Come on, man. But it hits all the same beats you've seen before. Pete Hegseth snapping at the reporters. Yeah. And I was really ready to write this off. And then it takes the turn where Pete introduces Kash Patel, played by cameo Aziz Ansari. Looking a lot like Kash Patel. I will give him that. Like, they
made him up pretty well. I mean, he can't quite do the eye thing, but I mean, who can? What is going on with Kash Patel's eyes? I don't exactly. Does the man have a lazy eye, or were they just crossed in that one photo? I'm not sure.
I don't know. Like, he has I just remember that one photo of him with his bug eyes came out, and that's like all people were able to talk about. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with his eyes?
Because if he has some sort of condition or physical malady, I don't feel right making fun of that. But if he's
But he is doing terrible things, John.
He is doing terrible things, and I feel like it's fair game to make fun of him for that.
Yeah,
mock him and hate him for that stuff. But
But
you know, making fun of the physical appearance. Yeah, I don't know.
You're the better man, John. You're the better man than us.
I try to be. Yeah, I try good. To be. But God, it's really hard today.
You're a good man, Charlie Brown. But yeah, so Aziz comes out as Cash Patel, talks about how it's like, oh, everybody thinks I'm doing a bad job, but we're only 6 weeks away from pinpointing the exact location of Osama bin Laden.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about how he's breaking the glass ceiling as being the first Indian person to suck at their job.
Yeah.
He's proven Indian people can be just as incapable and incompetent as the whites. High five.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, like, this cold open is pretty paint by numbers up until Aziz comes in, which makes me think, why don't you just have Aziz at the start? Like, just cut out all that other Pete Hegseth stuff and just start it with, have Aziz do the whole cold open, and it could have been a little bit more peppier and shorter.
Yeah, I mean, just have Cash Patel do a press conference if we have to do a press conference. Maybe they just felt like, oh, we have to get a cast member in there. And we can't turn it all over to the stunt casting. And, you know, I'm kind of sick of SNL doing stunt casting. You know, it hasn't gotten as bad as it was in, like, the pre-COVID days.
Yeah.
And I totally see why they brought Aziz in, because, you know, who in the regular cast are they going to have like Cash Patel?
Could have been you, Emil Joaquin.
Yeah. Yeah. So...
If
only we hadn't let Emil Joaquin get away.
Oh, boy.
Do you think that's been said once since he was let go from the show? Probably
not. I wish he was so good. Like, he was
so good, and he was unappreciated.
Unappreciated. Big mistake letting him go. And I will stand on that. 10 toes down. I will die on this hill.
Yeah. 100%. Cosign. Big John Hancock signature on that, that document.
The quote, pretty woman, big mistake, huge.
Yes, yes. The thing that really got me was just the sheer laziness of doing like the 2000th press conference cold open of the season. I don't know how they fit in 2000 press conference cold opens in a season that's been 18 episodes so far, but somehow they managed it.
Yeah, it's at this point, I'm pretty sure I probably said this last time, but yeah, it's getting... super lazy. And like, folks, if you think I'm, you know, being wrong or too harsh, go watch the cold opens that the SNL UK have been doing. Like, their cold opens are so much better than what SNL US have been doing. Like, they create interesting scenarios. Like, they'll use, you know, their Prime Minister Keir Starmer, but he won't just be doing a press conference. They'll have him in different situations and whatnot. And like, they build a scene around it. And it's not just, you know, the politicians regurgitating what happened that week to the camera. They do their cold open so much better than
I mean, you know, sucks. And just the thing that gets me is, like, just over like a week or so ago, whenever the White House press correspondence dinner was, there was an attempted assassination that took place.
Yeah.
And they still didn't do anything with that for the cold open. I mean, that just boggles my mind.
Yeah, like the show, I mean, they mention it a little bit in the cold open, and they mention it a little bit in Weekend Update, but that's kind of it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really make hay of it at all.
Yeah, which really surprised me. Do you think they had an attack of conscience and they were like, oh, it'd be in bad taste to make fun of this? But
maybe.
I think also because, like, from what I understand, the guy was stopped and he was never even on the same floor as Trump and the reporters.
And he was
in the Secret Service. So he didn't really get close. So I feel like there's a lot of comedy to be had in that. You could make it into a farce. And
you could, but I don't know. Maybe they're really afraid of, because, like, you know, see what our president's been doing to Kimmel. Like, and, cracking down on him. So, like, they don't want that Kimmel smoke. Although, I will admit, they did. Michael Che did have a pretty pretty dark, good joke about this, but which we'll get to later on.
All right.
With the exception of Aziz, cold open was pretty middling.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, which is too bad, because then you're kind of starting the show behind. So.
Yeah. But monologue. We got Olivia Rodrigo, a young lady singer. coming out.
How old is she? I don't even know. Is she out of her? Is she like teens, early 20s?
She's in her early 20s. Yes. Like okay. Trigger warning for all boomers and Gen Xers. She was born in 2003. So she's like 23 years old.
Jesus H. Christ.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't mind me. I'm just going to have an existential crisis for the next few minutes. Okay.
Yeah, sorry about that. I felt bad saying it.
Yeah, yeah. So she's got a new album out next week. You seem pretty sad for a girl so in love.
Oh.
And you know it's super serious because it's all in lowercase. She went E.E. Cummings on this shit.
Oh.
Yeah. And all her song titles are in lowercase too. So
deep.
So deep or pretentious. I'm not sure which.
She talked about the new album, talked about how she was a child actor. Mm-hmm. They show an old Navy commercial she did when she was six. Yeah. Talk about her Disney show, Bizard Vark, which also had Jake Paul on it. The boxer dude who beats up old people on Netflix.
Yeah. When she started talking about, I was in a commercial for Cabana dresses when I was six, I was like, so they have nothing for her to talk about. Okay. Okay.
You were in an old Navy commercial.
The bottom of the barrel with Olivia Rodrigo's monologue.
Old Navy commercial. Hot damn. Oh, we got something here.
Yeah.
Now we're cooking.
And then she does a parody of her driver's license song about getting a real ID, which I thought that's a decent, funny premise.
Yeah. Like, she talks about how, to get a real ID, you got to bring your pay stub.
Yeah.
Which she didn't know. And, had to wait nine hours at the DMV. And
she doesn't know what a pay stub is because
she's 23.
She's 23. And most everybody gets paid by direct deposit these days. So.
That is true. Wow. I didn't even think about that. Yeah. You got to bring a passport, W-2. It's like, how long will this take? It'll take forever. So she'll just use her fake ID instead.
I have not gotten like a real ID yet because I haven't meant to fly anywhere for the last several years. But
yeah,
I'm kind of dreading the process.
I don't plan on getting it anytime soon because from what I understand, like you don't really need it unless you're flying. If you're flying within the country, and even that, if you have a valid passport, you could just use that. So you don't even really need the real ID, really. Okay. I was thinking about it when I thought I could do it like online or like through the mail, but then I found out no, you got to go to the DMV in person to do it.
Filling out paperwork is like my kryptonite. So,
my kryptonite.
And I just recently had to do DMV crap.
Fuck that noise.
That should take care of me for the next several months, I hope. But
I hope so. Yeah, let's not go back to that. But monologue, I thought it was cute enough. Okay.
Yeah, I like the idea of the driver's lesson song being parodied with a real ID. That was okay.
Yeah, that was an interesting little.
I'll accentuate the positive on this because there's going to be very little of it.
There you go, Mr. Positive.
That's me.
And with that, we go into our first sketch of the night, Edge of Destiny. This one was written by Brian Tucker, Will Steven, with a little assist by Mr. Steve Higgins, from what I've uncovered. Hmm.
Yeah, because he's old enough to remember Dynasty.
Yes, exactly. Oh, so you knew they were doing Dynasty right off the rip.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Chloe was 100% Linda Evans in Dynasty with that.
Wow.
Movie. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because like I knew they were going for like some one of those big 80s, soap opera dramas like a Falcon's Crest or a.
And I don't think I've ever watched a full episode of Dynasty, but like that was an era. And if you're like younger than Gen X, you might not remember this, but you could be so aware of a show like Dynasty, even to the point where you could kind of follow the subplots just through like the advertisements for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
it kind of permeated the culture. Even if you didn't watch it. So.
Yeah, because, I mean, there were so few, like, TV shows on back in the day. You just kind of...
We had three networks, Diddy's.
Yeah. That's the way it was, and we liked it.
Yeah, we loved it.
We loved it. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And we didn't have these streaming channels.
We had 3 dials on our television. We had to get up out of our chairs and turn the dial by hand.
And we had to sit inches from the screen, and then we just watch the TV and go blind, and we're like, oh no, I guess I shouldn't have sat so close to the TV.
Burned right into our retinas.
It was too late. Your retinas were burnt, and you were watching Dynasty, and you left it.
You had Linda Evans in one eyeball and Joan Collins in the other.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was right off, that was off the dome, ladies and gentlemen.
That was. That's
riffing, baby.
That's right. So, riffing. Okay. So we got sort of a Dynasty parody thing where Chloe's Linda Evans and Olivia Rodrigo is playing, I don't know, some blonde lady.
Some blonde lady, yeah. They're at the
top. Who are the blondes on Dynasty? I don't remember.
I never watched Dynasty. Like I know the show, but like
isn't
I have.
Is there Locklear on that?
Is that T.J. Hooker you're thinking about?
Well, I know she was like on T.J. Hooker, but she split her time between T.J. Hooker and some nighttime soap.
Oh, was that Melrose Place?
It might
place?
Have been Dynasty.
Oh, let's say yeah.
All right, let me do a quick Google searching.
Yeah, I don't know anything. I wasn't watching Dynasty. I was watching cool stuff like A-Team.
Neither was I. I was like, you know, watching the A-Team and stuff like that.
Watching Knight Rider, baby. A talking car? What?
Michael Knight, a man who doesn't exist. Yes, she was known for her role as Sammy Jo Carrington on Dynasty from 1981 to 1989. 8 freaking years on Dynasty. Her first major television role. So she did T.J. Hooker in the middle of that.
Ooh, wow. All right. Gainful employment.
So she was working with Joan Collins and William Shatner. You know Heather Locklear's gotten some stories, man.
Oh, she's walked into a dressing room or two and seen some wild shit.
She's sitting on some Shatner stories.
Shatner tales.
Yeah. And, okay. She needs to write a memoir or something. And if she has, I guess I need to read it. Anyway. Yes.
Heather Locklear. Locklear, Stocklear, and Barrel. I don't know. Sometimes
this is the downside of riffing.
Yeah, sometimes this is bad improv, guys.
Sometimes we get gold like the Dynasty bet from a couple minutes ago. Sometimes
yes,
not so much.
Okay, I need a suggestion, a word. Anybody?
Proctologist.
I heard. I heard ice cream salesman. Okay, here we go.
Gynecologist.
Sir, stop screaming. You've been here before. You've been screaming. That's a proctologist that you got here.
That's literally what everyone shouts at an improv show when you ask for an occupation.
Butts, penises, boobs,
genitalia.
Okay. All right.
5 years of doing improv.
Oh boy. Edge of Destiny.
Edge of Destiny. Okay, yeah. I guess at some point we do have to talk about the sketches on this show. So Chloe falls down the stairs.
Chloe and Olivia, they have an argument at the top of the stairs in this big mansion. Chloe falls down. And I will say, it is cool how they do the camera shot of Chloe falling down the stairs. That is a cool, inventive thing they did, but...
And then they drive it into the ground with like,
it's
four or five other people.
It's the Pete Hegseth of the sketch because
then we get Marcello falling down the stairs and Andrew Dismukes falling down the stairs and then Mikey and Sarah and a doggy come in and we got Keenan as the butler and he's got a tower of champagne flutes and
and then of course everyone's falling down the stairs and I think at one point like Olivia's character likes it. Because, like, everybody in the family thinks she's, trash, and they call her trash. So she's, like, now succeeding. And they're like, oh, now who's the trash? Who has the last laugh? And of course, Keenan popped up behind her saying, me, bitch. And then he pushes her down the stairs.
Yeah.
And then we get because with the sketch, the visual of them falling down the stairs is cool. Like they show how they do it at the end of the sketch.
But it got old for me so damn fast.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the visual
because after that they're just repeating the same thing with no variation
and yeah
mix it up give me something unexpected I'm not gonna laugh unless you surprise me man
I think that's it like all the sketch has is the falling down the stairs thing and it is cool it is inventive how they tilted the camera and how they have them all kind
of and they're moving the stairs in front of the actors and
but like without that, there's nothing else in this sketch, really.
I feel like it was more amusing to the studio audience than the people at home.
Yeah, and that's fine. I'm glad the people in the audience got a laugh. But
yeah, the audience at home is like, it's like literal millions of people. Yeah. It's got a few hundred in 8H, so...
It's like when a comedian tells a joke to the back of the room to the comedians sitting in the back. And
that's right.
And it's like, all right, I'm glad you
made... No, that's totally cool. I mean, that's different.
I'm glad you made Ken Kranz laugh, but what about all these other people fucking waiting?
Got him!
People are paid a two-drink minimum and shit. You're going to...
Guest star on our podcast last week. We bash you the next. That's how we roll.
Hey! That's right. Welcome to the Five Timers Club, Ken. I mean... I will give the sketch points for its cool visual of the falling down the stairs, but that's all I can really give it because that's all there is.
I don't think I can even give it that much because I just hated this.
Wow.
So we're 0-2 so far.
All right. Okay. Well, next up we got a pre-tape, Midnight Matinee, My Room. This one is written by Dan Bulla, Carl Tart, and Moss Perricone. Yeah, so I'll describe it.
Yeah, I didn't write down any notes until we got to the twist. So
okay, so yeah, so yeah. This one, it's Olivia Rodrigo. She plays a girl in her bedroom singing about how much she loves her bedroom. All the
she's
things
got pictures of boy bands on the wall.
Yeah, she has like a lava lamp and a beanbag chair. I was like, is this thing from the 70s? But it makes sense after you see the twist because she also has a phone with a landline and a cord and a disco ball and a mood ring and VHS tapes. And like, if you're thinking to yourself, all these things are old. Well, yeah, they are, because she's not actually in a bedroom. Her bedroom is actually a cage and she's actually in a zoo on a bug people planet.
Right.
Yeah.
Isn't that a Twilight Zone episode with Roddy McDowell and Susan Oliver? People are alike all over. It's that.
I don't think I know that one.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Right,
real early episode of the Twilight Zone. Yeah. Mm.
So, yeah, it's a twist.
Or the first Star Trek pilot, The Cage.
Ooh.
It's kind of like that.
Okay. Okay, yeah, it's like a Planet of the Apes, but with bug people, kind of.
It's a madhouse.
It's a madhouse!
Yeah.
Get your damn dirty hands off me, you filthy ape.
No.
Bug... We have bug people tapping the glass like humans would in a zoo. People watching from the bleachers as she uses the toilet, as people in a zoo would do. A baby bug fell into her cage, so they had to shoot her with a trank gun.
She's got a bug people version of A League of Their Own.
Yeah,
which is just the aliens approximation of that movie.
Yeah, there's no crying in People Ball.
There's no crying in Earth Ball. Yeah.
They put in JAJ as a potential mate. She doesn't want to mate with him, so they kill him off.
Yeah, he's like, oh, totally understand.
Yeah. And, that's kind of it.
Nothing really beyond that.
I mean, it's
initial twist. So
yeah, I mean, it's...
They did give a lot of detail in the sketch.
They did.
So...
They did.
I guess I appreciate the amount of thought they put into that, but I can't say it made me laugh very much.
Yeah, like, I'm glad you put in details. How about putting in some jokes in this book?
Darren's getting salty. I like this. All right.
That was salty, Darren. Guys, I'm so sorry.
Darren. I like this. No, guys.
No, guys, I'm trying to be a good man, John.
Feel the hate. Let it flow through you. Come to the dark side, Darren. It's Star Wars Day. Come on.
I'll never join you.
Feel the hate flow through you.
No. Shop TV Lava Cake.
Shop TV Lava Cake. My first note. How many fucking times have we done this sketch? I looked it up. This was the fifth.
Wow.
Five freaking times we've done this sketch. I found on SNL Archives. Let's see. We got a sketch from 2022, and I'm not really recognizing the host. It looks like it's Mikey and it looks like Kristen Wiig. I'm just looking at a thumbnail here.
Okay.
Then they did it in 2023 with Adam Driver.
I remember that one. I believe
Heidi is playing the co-host.
Yeah, Heidi was the co-host, yeah.
And then I remember this one, Michael Keaton, It's still with Mikey and Heidi. That's from 2024.
Okay.
And then last year with...
Gerard Carmichael?
No. This is a petite musician. Is that Sabrina Carpenter? I think that's Sabrina Carpenter at the thumbnail.
Okay.
She had the big pillow that looked like a vagina.
Oh, right. The neck pillow. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's more of that. It's Olivia Rodrigo. So
we've had vagina pillows, we've had boob cakes, we've had penis chocolate things. I'd like this sketch at first, but there's nothing surprising about it anymore.
We've
gone through every freaking variation.
What other orifices or genitalia can we do? Well,
I don't know. Yeah, we've run out of private parts.
Well, we haven't done the butthole, and that's what we do here.
We got a lava cake that looks like a butthole, and
yeah, and
that's
the
fudge hole, and oh, will you finger it in the
And at one point, Mikey sticks his finger in there. Like at first, he uses the pinky to be gentle, and then he gets fudge on his fingers, and he says, "Hey, can somebody give me something to wipe this off?" Somebody gives him a roll of toilet paper. That's kind of funny.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same beats. Like the person presenting their product is unaware that it looks phallic or, suggestive while everybody else is freaking out around them. And
if you really want to talk about it broadly, this goes all the way back to sweaty balls.
Yeah. But I feel like that was different because that one, everybody was unaware of what they were actually saying was wrong.
And I think that made it funnier.
Yeah. They were all kind of oblivious to it. And that was funny.
And they did it totally deadpan.
Yeah, exactly. And so this one, it's always Mikey and Heidi, or Mikey, in this case, Mikey and Ashley. They're always like, oh, this is wrong. We can't do this. And then the person presents what? I don't see anything wrong with these.
And that's what kills me. I used to like this, but it's the fifth freaking time. And there's no surprises left anymore. So,
they got to do something different with it's just really just cut and paste.
Yeah. It's just Mad Lib sketch writing. And I'm kind of sick of that.
Yeah, it's another miss, I'd say.
Yeah, unfortunately so. And I usually like what Mikey does and what he brings to the show, but it's we've run out of risque things that edible arrangements can look like.
Well, I mean, I'm sure though. Are there any of the listeners? Let us know what orifice or risque thing do you think they'll probably do next? Because they've done...
Send those notes to Darren, please.
DM me.
I don't want a deal.
You don't want any of that?
No, I don't want to be... Well, there's another variation of butthole that they could do. No, I don't want those notes.
You don't want variations?
You are welcome to them, my friend.
You don't want variations of buttholes sent to your folder?
I really don't.
Okay, fine.
I really don't.
All right, prude. Fine. My ex.
Look, if I want to talk to strangers about buttholes, there are other sites I can go to for that sort of thing, from what I understand. So,
there are, believe me.
Yeah.
Believe me. My ex. This one was written by Ben Marshall, Allison Gates, and Ken Sublette.
Okay.
So this one, we're at a birthday party at a restaurant. It's Marcello's birthday. He walks over to Olivia Rodrigo, who's sitting at a table, says, "Hey, thanks for coming to my birthday party. And so sorry, I invited your ex, Duncan.
Before you guys broke up.
Yeah,
and was like 3 weeks ago.
3 weeks ago, exactly.
Seems like enough time to change your plans or rescind an invitation.
That is interesting. All right, so what do you do in that instance where you invited this couple and then they break up? Do you have to uninvite one of them?
Well, I mean, hopefully the one person that you're not as close with would have enough...
wherewithal?
Yeah, enough. They would know enough to be like, oh, yeah, no, I probably shouldn't go because my ex is going to be there.
Hmm.
I don't know. But for the sake of the comedy sketch, fine, I'll accept that.
Yes, exactly. So, so we see Ben Marshall as Olivia's ex at the table... across the way, right, looking right over at them. And she says, oh, my ex is here. And then she talks to Tommy, who is sitting right next to her. And she's like, hey, you know, I know you don't know me and we don't know each other, but can you pretend to be my date to make my ex jealous? He's right over there.
And he's like, then we cut to Ben over at another table. And he asks the woman sitting next to him, Ashley Padilla, will you pretend to be my date so that, you know, I can save face in front of my ex?
Yes. And then we see Ashley. Ashley is the wild card here in this, because she's like, oh, acting. Okay. I mean, does it matter that I've had a baby before?
It's like,
and she's like, well, I'm a little older than you, but we're acting. Okay. Okay. It's like, officer, I'm 18. I swear. Right. Mm-hmm. And then Ben's like, you know what? Actually, I'm okay. Thank you.
So we got the two couples and they're both trying to one up each other, and they're trying to do cute couple things. Like, you know, one puts frosting on the other one's nose and Ashley like smears cake all over, or is mashed potatoes all over Ben Marshall's face.
Right. Bam.
Yeah.
All over the grill.
Yeah.
And then she tells her to lick it off her face, which she does. I think at one point, Tommy gives Olivia her coat to look like a gentleman. And then so Ben's date rips off Ben's shirt.
Right.
You know, again, Ben's been shirtless a lot this season. I don't know if that's his request or, you know, or what, but
I don't know if you come in with a specific request for that, but
I'd like to request me being bare chested because.
Yeah. Yeah, Warren, could you have my shirt ripped off in as many sketches as possible this season?
My abs need as much screen time as they can get, Warren.
Maybe it's just a case of, like, he's willing to do that in one sketch so they go to that well again or something. Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, if something's worth doing once, it's worth driving into the ground a half a dozen times, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Got to show off that physique, my man. So she rips off his shirt. And then she begins putting on her sweater over his head.
Mm-hmm.
And then we see Tommy giving Olivia like a massage. So then Ben tries to give Ashley a massage. Then she lets out this blood-curdling screech where it's like, what was that? Oh, my God.
No, that was me reacting to the sketch.
Oh, well, you don't like this one?
I wasn't nuts about it. I thought Ashley gave a great performance as usual, but it didn't do much for me.
I see what you mean. Like, I think this one I'm a little bit more warmer on, because I think Ashley really saves it, especially at the end where, like,
she did what she could, I think.
Yeah. Because, like, I think with after Tommy gives like a speech, you know, clinks his glass and says some nice things about Olivia. So then, of course, Ashley tries to one up him. And she says in this like Elizabethan accent, like, oh, I've taken a lover. Made love in the bathroom. And
she says she's pregnant, right?
Yeah, she says she's pregnant at the end. Also, at one point, because her face was covered in mashed potatoes, at one point while she's talking, a clump of mashed potato falls directly into her wine glass, which I thought was hilarious.
I did not notice that. I must have been taking a note when that happens.
It happens.
That sounds funny. Okay.
You couldn't have planned it. And
that sounds cool. That's a nice serendipity there.
Yeah. And of course, at the end, you know, Olivia.
Keenan pops up as an unfunny character. Yes.
Yes, Keenan. That's kind of. Yeah, I have noticed Keenan does kind of pop up. I mean, this is like kind of the second time Keenan's popped up like towards the end of a sketch. Like the first was
Oh, they love bringing him in like three quarters of the way through a sketch.
Yeah, because I mean, at first there was the Dynasty sketch in this one, and there's another one where he pops up at the end, which I'll lay into that one.
They love bringing Keenan in late in a sketch. That's like one of their go-to moves for some reason, even though in my opinion it only works maybe 30% of the time.
Yeah,
but it's just like, oh, let's bring Keenan in and have him mug outrageously. And
it's like, well, you sure you want to do that? We could just write a better ending.
No, Keenan will save it. Yeah. He's been here for 20 odd years.
Yeah, I gotta be somewhere. I gotta go.
Yeah, so my kid's got a recital.
Yeah,
Let's
just yada 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 Keenan this sketch, and we could all be out early.
We can all be out early at 2 a.m.
That's right.
Because the hours at SNL are insane.
Bars are still open.
Why do we work these hours in 2026? Oh, because the show was conceived in the 70s when everyone was on cocaine? That makes sense.
Yay.
Right. Okay.
That's right. Tradition.
Why are we still stuck with those working hours after 50 years? It's so weird.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, I, I mean, as much as I respect the tradition of SNL, yeah. and like it is a marvel that you can get all this done in a week.
Yeah,
it might be time to adjust some of the old ways of doing things.
Even when it's a disappointing episode, logistically, the show is a miracle.
It is.
I mean, you write all those sketches, you do sets and costumes and makeup for all those sketches. It is incredible that the show comes off as well as it does every week.
Yeah. Just
on a technical level.
It is. But, you know, maybe we can change some of those rules and get a better show. Because, like, you know, that's the thing. Like, we're playing by these old rules and we're getting a show that's, you know, so-so at best and middling at worst, and maybe once in a while you'll get an amazing show using that same old way of doing things. But I feel like if you'd get more amazing shows if you just, you know, maybe switch up the rules a bit and gave people more time to, like, I don't know, sleep and eat.
Yeah, but I feel, I mean, look, I love the sometimes bizarre sketches that you can get that I'm sure were conceived at like 3 a.m. on an all-nighter.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. And there is something to be said for that, because you do think of weird ass shit when you're sleep deprived. But
oh boy,
yeah, I don't know.
Yeah,
the show is what it is at this point.
It
might be silly to just wish that it would change, because I don't think it's going to.
No, I guess not
in the state it's in now, and it's doing well for having been around for 51 years now. So
very true.
What the hell do I know?
Yeah, but I don't know. I kind of dug the sketch. I mean, just for Padilla's performance alone, because she really goes balls to the wall on this one.
She does. She does.
I think I'll make this my sketch of the night. I think this. But yeah, but again, just because.
Yeah, I'm holding out. I'm holding out.
Ooh. All right. Well, we'll
this
see.
This is what, our fourth sketch?
Yep.
The cold open. We got the dynasty thingy, the midnight matinee, the lava cake. Yeah, this is sketch number 5. So this is like 0 for 5 for me, not carrying the monologue.
Oh boy! All right, here we go. Yeah. Well,
so I'm not feeling good.
All right. Well, how about
I watched this show in two chunks.
Mm-hmm.
I stopped after the first number from Miss Rodrigo.
Yes.
So and I was like, okay, I've watched 40 minutes of this. I really haven't enjoyed any of it.
Yeah, I remember seeing that in the our Facebook thread, and I was like, "Ooh, this might be a salty episode. We're getting ready to record."
It might be. I was just like, what do I value more? Weekend update, sleep before I got to work in the morning. I'm going with sleep for right now.
Yes, yeah, folks, it's gonna be like a sidewalk in the wintertime, salty. So then we have our guest doing a few little new numbers. Drop Dead off her new album, and mm-hmm. Begged, which is a song that was not released. It was just with a new one.
I thought it was Drop Dead that she was debuting.
I'm pretty sure Drop Dead is out. I think it was Begged.
Okay, so that's like the first single from the new album. Then.
Yeah, and to present her before she did Drop Dead, we have a nice little cameo from Jersey's own Debbie Harry.
Debbie Harry from Blondie. Yeah.
From Blondie.
Like, oh, wow. Debbie Harry. What the hell?
Yeah. She hasn't been on SNL since 1987 when she was the musical guest on the Joe Montana Walter Payton episode.
Oh, nice. I'll be upstairs masturbating.
They won't bother me.
That sounds creepy if you don't know the context.
It really might
sound creepy even if you do know the context. But I was quoting from a sketch.
Yeah. We promise.
Yeah.
And Beg.
It's a punchline to a very funny sketch. I think it's called The Roommate. With that. I think. Yeah, check it out.
Written by the great Jim Downey.
Yes. And, yes. Downey wrote that.
Yes. And and her second performance, Begged, she was introduced by Connor Story.
Or as he's known in my notes, Heated Rivalry Guy.
There it is.
And then I looked at the name later. I was like, when they said goodnight, she was like, thank you to Connor Story. I was like, that's his name. Thank you. Okay. Yeah,
John, he hosted the show like a month ago.
I know. But I haven't watched the hockey player show. So his name did not stick in my head.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
I thought both these performances were okay. Nice, you know, inoffensive pop songs. I thought that was nice.
Yeah,
I will say it's weird because, like, she's somebody who says she's like a big fan of bands like The Cure and like Talking Heads. Like I looked, oh, according to Wikipedia,
I don't see any of that in her music.
Exactly, I don't either. Like she had,
I found it like just this vapid pop stuff, and I was like, oh, these lyrics are really trite.
Yeah, that's the thing I don't understand, because like she had the Breeders open up for her on her when she went on tour.
Did you say the Breeders?
The Breeders, Kim Deal's
band. Cannonball, the Breeders?
Yeah, yeah. Like a couple years ago, she had the Breeders.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She's had the Breeders.
Really?
Yes. Look it up. I'm not.
Really?
Yes.
This has been Really with Sean and Darren.
Hello, baby. That's a big bopper talking?
No, I was.
I know.
Doing the big bopper?
I know. That's why it's hilarious that what I said.
Okay.
Well, what? You know what I like. Chantilly. Okay. But yeah, so it's weird.
You're
that
stretching
she...
back to big bopper references, and we wonder why this podcast is not more popular.
We are so current with the kids. Hey, you kids like the big bopper and Richie Valens, right?
Richie Valens, yeah.
Dip, 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 boom, boom, boom. You like that stuff, right, kids? You're down with Shanana, right? What the fuck was I saying? Oh, yeah. So,
we were going off the rails, sir.
So it's weird that she's fans of, like, the Breeders and all these alt bands.
Yeah, and I don't hear any of that in her music.
Yeah, like, according to Wikipedia, it says, like, oh, her parents, she grew up listening to her parents' music, which is, like, No Doubt and Pearl Jam and the White Stripes and shit. And, like, I don't hear any of that in any of these music. It's all just kind of whatever pop music.
Yeah.
So it's wild.
I would have guessed she was, like, you know, she grew up listening to Taylor Swift or whatever.
Yeah. It sounds way more Taylor Swifty than like anything else, but I don't know. Yeah. I really don't have anything to say about
this. I'm mystified. Okay. So, we should ask the big question though. Does Lorne Michaels know who Olivia Rodrigo is?
Not at all. No.
No. I say hell no. Yeah.
Hell no.
Hell no. She's hosted the show. She's been a musical guest on the show. There's no freaking way Lorne Michaels knows who she is.
She's a young child. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's 23, but, you know, that's...
Yeah, but
by old coot standards.
By, like yeah, by Lorne Michaels standards, she is a fetus.
Yes, exactly. There's absolutely no way she knows who Olivia Rodrigo is.
He.
He. What?
Yeah, you said she.
I meant he.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
We should probably get Lorne Michaels' pronouns right.
Yes. My pronouns are he, him, I think. yeah, so performances, nice, not memorable, I'll say.
I wouldn't even go that far, but okay. Oof, sure.
Damn.
Nice, but not memorable, that's fine.
Saltines. Weekend update, Colin Jost, Michael Che.
Che. You know what occurred to me when I started watching Weekend Update in my second session is they've never changed their filmed intro for Update, have they? Has it been the same for the entire tenure of them hosting Update? Because if so, they are literally aging 10 years between the film segment and when we see them live.
I feel like it might have been different early on.
Yeah.
But they've definitely kept that. Weekend Update.
I mean, they've had this intro for a few years at least. So
yes,
we're aging a few years.
Like yes,
probably
absolutely. Yes, at least five at the minimum.
Yeah, just an idle thought that I had.
But. No, I like that. Thank you. But yeah, we had some. So this is the one where we had some those kind of dark jokes I was talking about. Like Che talked about the White House dinner. The shooter took a selfie of himself beforehand and put it up on social media saying, felt cute, might delete president.
Yeah, solid joke.
Solid joke. Talked about how Prince Charles met Zoran Mamdani. Surprised he didn't take him back to England because he is an Indian treasure. Woo!
The joke, there was a joke that just really kind of confused me. It was also in the Prince Charles segment. They were saying that Prince Harry was being held hostage by an American terrorist, and they put up a picture of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle.
Yeah, like Markle is the American terrorist.
Yeah, but I don't know. That just made no sense to me because
no one likes Meghan Markle, so they're like, oh, she must have kidnapped our sweet baby Prince Harry. Like, he's under duress.
My understanding was that Prince Harry isn't very well regarded by the royal family. He titled his autobiography Spare, right?
I guess I'm not super well caught up with the affairs of the royal family.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, and also I was like, is the royal family known for being that bigoted? That sounds more like a joke of the Trump administration or something like that. I don't know. That just didn't land for me at all.
Okay, I hear you.
And I was just like, what the hell is that joke?
What was it? I mean, there was a joke about Che had about the Supreme Court, how they took a wrecking ball to the Voting Rights Act, but black people saying that it felt more like a fire hose. Awkward groans throughout the entire audience. They were
And I liked how Che just, started writing down, too real.
Audience tightened all the way up on that.
You could hear all those lava cakes just tightening up in the audience.
That's right. All the lava cakes were like, oh!
I did like the joke they were talking about. Pete Hanks said at a press conference or a testimony, he was saying that the war is costing $25 billion. And he said, what are we bombing them with? White House ballrooms?
That was a good one, too, yeah.
Yeah, and I also like the graphic of a stealth bomber
dropping a ballroom.
Yeah.
Yes. We're not there yet. We don't have the technology, but someday.
Mm-hmm.
Drop ballrooms on for our enemies.
Yeah. And I know this was from Saturday night, but I was watching this segment on Monday, so I like that they had a Giuliani joke. I was like, oh, hey, look at that. They went there. But, obviously this was before the news broke about Giuliani being in critical condition in the hospital.
Yeah. Thoughts. And then that's...
Yeah. Okay.
thoughts, and that's it.
We'll end it there.
And thoughts and...
Thoughts.
Thoughts and thoughts.
Thoughts.
Yeah. First,
I'm not going to say good thoughts, even. I'm just going to say thoughts.
I had a thought about him, and that's all I'll give it.
That sure is a thing that happened.
Mm-hmm. So our first death segment, Alex Earl and Alex Cooper on their brewing feud. Two people who I don't know at all. I sort of heard
about... Are they real people?
Yes.
Or are they just characters?
See, this is the thing with, like, when they do death segments like this, because all the writers are young people that are chronically online, and I feel like to understand this, you need to be a young person who's chronically online, which is maybe why they put it in the Olivia Rodrigo, because they figure, oh, all of Olivia's fans are young people who are chronically online.
See, because I saw this and I thought, oh, hey, they're naming update characters again. I should have realized that they're supposed to be real people because they had names.
Yes. So these are like two podcaster influencers.
These are real people who have a real feud.
Yeah, like I think one of them
is
like a podcasting network, and the other has a podcast on that network.
Oh, this is so stupid.
Yeah, I know. Like
so incredibly stupid. I thought these were exaggerated characters.
No, these are real people.
What the hell, man?
Parody doesn't exist anymore, John. Did you know that? The thing of the past.
Why would I assume that a comedy sketch show would be presenting a heightened version of reality when we can just present reality?
Yes. Reality is the heightened.
What are you even doing anymore, man?
Reality is the heightened version of reality.
This episode might have broken me, Darren.
Oh, no. Oh, boy.
I don't know if I'm going to make it to the end of the season now.
Hold on, John. I'm here with you, man. Don't you die on me.
Hold my hand, Darren.
Don't you die on me, John. Don't you die on me.
I just want to sink into the ocean.
We're going to get you to the rendezvous point. You're going to be okay.
I don't want to crawl up on that door.
You're going to be okay. Say the goddamn words. Oh, boy.
So, okay. Well, I mean, I did like they had the line, this situation can only be described as worse than 9/11. And they talked about how it's a literal Chernobyl for white women. And I like that they put the slug up of Michael Che, enemy to white women. But honestly, I find this much less interesting now that I know they were playing real people.
Yeah, like I was trying to find out exactly what the whole beef was between them. And like I read up on it. As soon as I started reading up on it, I was like, I lost interest as I was reading it. I was like,
this is
so stupid. I don't care. So
it never even occurred to me to do a deep dive on this because it never occurred to me that they were real people.
They're real people, John. This is the whole thing. But yeah, but it's something you wouldn't know unless you're in those, like, you know, social media bubbles.
I thought we were just doing a new variation on the girl you wish you hadn't started a conversation with at the party.
No, this is a thing. This is an actual real life thing.
I refuse to believe this. I think you're gaslighting me, sir.
I'm not. So, yeah, that's our thought. Cam Patterson on Megan and the Stallion and Clay Thompson's breakup. This one's written by Cam, Carl Tart, Tucker Floodman, and Maxwell Gay. So, for those that don't know, Megan Thee Stallion, rapper, she was dating Clay Thompson, a dude that plays for the Dallas Mavericks. They broke up. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Cam Patterson.
Shooting his shot.
He always talks about how much he loves Megan on Moulin Rouge. And of course, Che said, "No, you don't. You had to have it phonetically written on a cue card because you don't know what that is." And they cut.
And then we cut to
Wally.
We get a little cameo from Wally.
Yeah, Moulin Rouge.
Cue card Wally, former guest on the SNL Nerds.
Yes,
look at that. I think that was a bonus episode. I don't remember at this point.
It's out there. Yeah, but
Google
.
SNL Nerds cue card Wally. You'll find it.
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah. Well, Wally Fierstein.
Absolutely.
Good guy.
And so this is whole Cam Patterson's time to shine, sell himself, talking about how, Megan needs a black man because, you know, black men don't cheat. And, you know, the thing is, Clay Thompson is a black man and he did cheat on Megan Thee Stallion. But Cam says, he's half black and it was the white half that cheated.
So, okay, this kind of turned out to be foreshadowing later because it was like he was saying he didn't know who Clay Thompson was.
Right.
And then they kind of explained that he was a basketball player and he's like, there's a WNBA for men?
But that joke, it kind of, it's supposed to show how, I guess, enlightened he is. It's like, I didn't know that. I only watched WNBA, but they didn't really do a good job,
I thought the joke was more just he's only a fan of Megan Thee Stallion and he doesn't know or care about the basketball player. But, later he was like, it's the white half the cheater. I was like, wait. He doesn't know who this guy is, but he knows that he's half black? What? And then they kind of gradually revealed that he did know who he was.
Cam trying to sell himself, like, maybe you want to date a guy who's gainfully employed in a thriving industry like entertainment, or he works at a sketch show, and a guy who is not in many sketches, but he's doing okay. Some say he's finding his voice more every week. Yeah, so let's talk about himself, John. Do you see that?
Yeah, as I've said, I'm pretty much done with this guy.
Yeah,
I don't think he's working out on the show. I don't care for, in interviews he's talked about I'm better on the show than the show. It's not my thing. And I'm just like, well, then why are you fucking here then? You don't even want to be on the show.
It's just, just something to, I guess, put on the resume and to move on to bigger and better things.
I'm just so sick of this guy. I got to tell you, he's ruined all comics with the last name Patterson.
Hey, wait a minute. Not all Pattersons, hashtag.
It's tough for me to conceive of a black comic with the last name Patterson who's at all funny.
Look, man. There are some great comedians named Patterson, like
name one.
Lachlan Patterson, I think, is one.
Okay, all right.
He's good.
Yeah. With you there. Okay.
And he's all right. I'm Patterson. I does this shit.
What?
Yeah, I do comedy. Matter of fact, give me a follow on social media, guys. I got a special I'm working on, so. Yeah, it's coming up through the works at Derek.
Your last name is Patterson?
Yes. Have you not listened to this?
I thought it was credible.
No, that's
your last name isn't credible.
It's a play. It's a pun on words. It's a play pun on words. Darren Credible.
Well, your social media handle is Darren Credible.
Yeah, incredible.
So Darren. So your last name is Credible.
No, my last name is Credible, but it's not Credible. It's Patterson. Third base.
I don't find that plausible at all.
Oh boy, that's our shortstop. Yeah. Yada da 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 da.
No, you put your last name in your social media handle and you follow it with the word comic. That's how it works.
Oh, like Trumbull comic.
Yeah, well, I mean, just to pick a random example, sure.
I see. I'm breaking all the norms, man. I'm shattering glass ceilings.
All right.
This campaign.
No, I don't care for comics named Patterson now.
All right. Well, not all Pattersons are created equal. So, yeah.
That's like, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. This one I thought was, yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm still not on board with Cam. Like, I don't see it. I don't understand.
Yeah, I don't.
Why he had to be on the show, except, you know, they need more black people on the cast. But yeah, I just don't. He's just not
impressing. He's not doing anything for me.
No, he's really not. He's really not impressing me. Speaking of not impressing, Busted. Busted. So we have Olivia Rodrigo coming home late from a night of partying. Mm-hmm. We see Marcello as her fiance waiting up for her, saying, "Oh, you're busted. I caught you. You're coming home late." And then the whole thing turns into a musical where they fight about their relationship, but it's all in sing song. And, you know, she talks about she went dancing with her friends. He tells her to go upstairs and pack her thing because they're through and they live in a one-bedroom apartment, so there are no stairs. Busted, they do have stairs. They have the small stairs for the dog to climb into bed. And they're fighting and singing, even though Marcello can't really sing.
See, okay, that's a problem.
Right?
No one in this sketch can freaking sing.
But there is somebody that can sing. J.A.J. is actually a good singer, and they only have him in it for a little bit because everyone is
speak singing, and
yeah, and that's the other thing too, because like all the jokes, I guess, are in them singing it, and like singing jokes and singing, it never really quite works.
No,
really,
no.
Like
it's like, okay, look, I get when you have a musician host. You want to have them use their musical talents in a sketch. That's fine. I get that. You know, you could do something like the when Spotify is going out and Ariana Grande or whomever is imitating all the various singers. That's fun.
Yeah.
And that's a fun way to use their musical skills. But this is like, you don't have any cast members in here who sing well. It's not like Cicely Strong is still in the cast.
Yeah, but that's the thing, because like then J.A.J. comes out as a burglar who's been hiding in the closet and he was going to rob them.
Yeah.
But they took too long fighting, so he's just going to go home. But J.A.J. Mm-hmm. can kind of sing. He can carry a tune. And then Jane Wickline comes out of the couch.
Oh, that'll save things. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yes. it's a funny visual, but she comes out of the couch as the burglar's wife who was followed her husband.
Because she thinks her husband was cheating on her, so she followed him.
The burglar.
He's actually going to rob this house.
It's like, oh, I thought my husband was cheating on me. Oh, he's just robbing a house.
And then Chloe comes out, and she's the robber's mistress. And then
Keenan comes out again.
As a landlord, because it's three quarters of the way through the sketch. Keenan's got to enter for some reason.
And
he's like, I'm the landlord and you're making too much noise at 10 p.m. And this isn't funny in the least. This was just awful.
Yeah, this one was, it got really convoluted. And
yeah.
Olivia admits that she has been cheating at the end. And that's not really a strong enough thing to end it on. Yeah,
yeah.
I'm
running out of ways to say how things are bad. I only have so many adjectives in my vocabulary.
Yeah, I will admit this one I thought was pretty weak. I mean, the fact that I don't know why they have to have Marcello be the lead guy doing all the singing, because J.A.J. can sing. Tommy can sing. Tommy does the warm up with Keenan, and him and Veronica sing at the beginning. So why don't have somebody that can sing?
Maybe they were thinking because he played Domingo, they think he can sing.
But even Domingo couldn't sing. Like, he couldn't sing.
No.
Like, Marcello's never been able to sing. So why have him in the sketch?
We got to get Marcello into a prominent role in the sketch. I don't understand the thought process here.
Maybe because they think, oh, Olivia Rodrigo fans like Marcello, so we got to put him in a lot. I don't know. But, like, maybe Olivia Rodrigo fans would like Tommy, too. Put Tommy in. Like, he's a handsome man. He's a
young man, and he's still underutilized in the show.
Yeah, and he can sing, so just put him in that.
Did Jeremy Culhane show up anywhere except in the cold open? I don't think he did. He played one of the reporters in the cold open. I don't remember seeing him again.
No, I don't think he did.
Yeah, I just realized that. What the hell, man?
Wow, light night for Culhane.
Yeah, that's a drag.
But yeah, I thought, this sketch was pretty poo-poo.
Just dire.
Yeah, it's pretty rough.
Just dire, yeah.
Next up, Rasta Driver, written by Streeter, Dismukes, and Jake Nordwind.
Okay. So we got Dismukes. He's like an Uber driver or Lyft driver, whichever it is. We got Olivia Rodrigo and Veronica as passengers. They're two ladies are getting ready to go out for the evening, and they're like, hey, you got to stop me after 15 drinks. Then the sketch kind of shifts, and then it's Dismukes starts singing along with the Rasta song that's playing on the radio.
There's some reggae dancehall, but it's just music, and he just makes up some lyrics. Like, he kind of, goes into a fugue state, and, like, he has this out-of-body experience with, like, you know, dum-dee-dum-dee-dee-dum-dum-yah.
Yeah, and he gets an applause break from the audience, so I was very impressed with that.
I think at one point he says, come lay with me and me gonna make you come. Like, he really gets into it. And
it sounds like a real Rasta dance number.
Yeah, and then he just stops, and then the passengers in the back was like, excuse me, what was that? And he's like, looks at his hands like, I don't know. I don't know what that was.
I was kind of confused because, like, the beginning of the sketch, we're starting with just the ladies talking in the back seat. And I'm like, okay, so, and then it shifts gears and goes to Dismukes. And I'm like, okay, so is this about the women in the back seat, or is it about the driver being weird? Because
I think it was supposed to be the old, misdirect, the old switcheroo where you think it's about the passengers, but then it just is. I think then it's about the driver. I think maybe they did that so you could be caught as off guard as the passengers in the back were when that happens.
But I think modern SNL has this weird habit of, like, we want to develop every character in the sketch so everybody has some notes to play. And it's like, no, some people can just be ciphers. Some people can just be the straight man. Like, everybody should get a chance to shine, theoretically. But you don't have to have everybody shine in every single sketch.
Fair enough.
So, yeah.
I like this one a little bit more just because I like Dismukes, though.
I thought Dismukes' performance was great.
Yeah.
And this was one of the funnier moments of the evening. I liked when he was like, I just realized I'm one of the most talented Rasta guys on earth. And the women in the back are going like, are you though? You really?
Like, you weren't, it wasn't that good. And he's like, you're sweet to say so, but I know what it was. It was next level. Yeah. I can't escape my destiny.
I somewhat enjoyed this because it had some Dismukes weirdness, and I do like the Dismukes weirdness more often than not.
We do like the Dismukes weirdness here.
Yeah. I mean, I'm particularly a fan of the Dismukes James Austin Johnson weirdness. Mm. Like, I like those two together. I think they have a nice, cool, offbeat chemistry. I'm like seeing Veronica get some chances to shine. This was at least okay.
Yeah, I thought this was interesting. I thought, like you said, I always like Dismukes. And I wanted to like it a little bit more than I did, but I thought it was all right. But I feel like
by the standards of this episode, this is like an oasis in the desert. I'm just like, I will take those two drops of water.
It's like Noel and Liam Gallagher. The oasis.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I was talking about a literal oasis, but okay.
I said maybe.
Yeah. Was that another band that Olivia Rodrigo listened to as a kid who she sounds nothing like?
I said maybe.
I still can't get it. Oh, I see what you did there. You said maybe.
See, there goes the riffing, ladies and gentlemen. Bam.
Yeah.
No. All right. Okay. Nobody needs to suggest it from the audience.
Gynecologist.
Oh, God. All right, sir. No.
Can we escort that person out, please?
Sir,
please.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave, sir.
All right.
Okay. So our 10-1, we close out the night with another pre-tape, Home Security Ad.
Home Security Ad.
So this Safeguard. One is
Safeguard's a real home security company, right?
Pretty sure it sounds real.
It sounds real. Or am I thinking of Safe Light?
I think about
Safe Light Repair, Safe Light Replace.
Safe Life Repair, Safe Life Replace.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Anyway, Safeguard.
Okay, yeah. So this is a home security system, an ad for that. And mm-hmm. talking about how, you know, their security system can capture the thief on your camera.
Anybody can take a picture.
Yeah.
But we produce cam footage that is guaranteed to go viral.
Right, because once you get the footage of the thief, like, how can you make sure that the footage gets around so people can identify right. the suspect? Well, to right. do that, the footage has to go online and go viral so more people see it. So how do you do that? You hire TikTokers to ask thieves questions so that the security cam footage will go viral online.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like, and, would you yeah. rather this or this? And
yeah, what's your body count? Yeah. You know, I think
they do a quick parody of the Chicken Shop Date.
Yes, another one of the instead of subway take, they do the sidewalk takes. Mm-hmm. I think at one point they do testimonials, and one of them is Ashley Padilla. It was like saying, "Oh, I couldn't believe how quickly the TikTokers got to my house. I mean, I was like, aren't they busy? But here's what I didn't realize: no, they're not."
Yeah, yeah. We have Cam Patterson, no relation, crowd work.
Yes. Who here eats ass on the first date?
Yeah.
You've eaten that ass, though. But then they did some interesting things where Sarah was talking about, well, like, yeah, now that we were able to capture the criminals because they went viral, now everybody's breaking into our houses just because they want to go viral. Like, Cory mm-hmm. Booker's been in here every week. I was like, Cory
Booker.
Yeah, because
Cory Booker's just so desperate to go viral.
Jersey Zone.
They, you know, hey, it's been a while since he had the filibuster stunt. So yeah.
Yeah.
He's hurting. He needs some more media exposure.
Yeah, that's old news. This one.
Yeah.
I kinda like the concept of this one. I think it's
a very funny concept. I think this would be my sketch of the night. I think this was the only consistently funny sketch of the night. Everything else was hit and miss at best.
Yeah, this one I do like the concept of it. Like, oh yeah, like going viral and TikTok or culture, and you know, it's a little bit of a message.
That's an original funny idea. Like, oh yeah, we'll make them go viral by asking them embarrassing questions and stuff, and
yeah,
and put them on the spot. I thought that was that was a great twist. Should have been way earlier in the show. I don't know if this was just put in to fill up an unexpected gap of time or what, but
yeah, I would have put this.
Wow, this should have been top of the show.
Yeah, I would have put this earlier at the show too, for sure, up at the top. And that's the episode. Not the strongest.
Yeah. That's the nicest way to put it. Yeah.
Good
nights, Olivia Rodrigo says. I will never forget this night. I was like, I'm going to do my best to forget it, Olivia Rodrigo.
God damn, John.
Yeah, I am salty. Ooh. I am salty.
Ooh, the lolly. All right.
The other thing I was wondering about in the good nights was, what was Aziz Ansari talking to Debbie Harry about? What were you thinking they were talking about? Because we see the two of them chatting during the good nights as the credits are rolling.
I don't know. Hey, Debbie, call me. I don't know.
I don't know. Aziz Ansari is a big foodie, so maybe he's like talking up some restaurant tour.
Yeah, or something. Talking about places to get Mai Mai or sushi or ramen. I don't know.
This is the best falafel sushi fusion. I don't know. Yeah.
It's the best Ethiopian. Yeah. Ethiopian fusion, Vietnamese. I don't know. Hot Pockets restaurant.
He's trying to get her on a new season of Master and None.
That's it. I thought they're done with that.
I think they are done with that. They did that last season about the other character.
Oh, Lena Waithe's character. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. That show kind of fizzled out. That was kind of hot.
I didn't watch that season because I was like, I'm interested in Aziz Ansari's character. I'm not really interested in the side character.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe they thought, people find this character just as interesting as Aziz. And I was like,
I don't know. So give her a spinoff.
Yeah. Like, this is,
I don't want to switch horses midstream, you know?
Yeah. People loved Friends, so they're going to love Joey.
Well, Joey was at least one of the friends. This is like making a spinoff about Gunther, Which actually, I take that back because that would probably be awesome. Yeah, I would watch a show about Gunther. Gunther. I think I liked Gunther better than the other friends by the end of that show.
Gunther, R.I.P. Oh my god.
Oh yeah, he did pass.
He did pass. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. Gunther. I remember they did that reunion. And he didn't show up in the reunion, and I think I tweeted out. It was like the funniest thing about the Friends reunion is that Gunther had other commitments, and then of course, and then like. I think within a year he passed and he was dealing with, I think it was cancer,
chemo or something like that.
And yeah. I was just like, oh, well, shit.
Yeah. He had other commitments like cancer, John.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, boy.
I didn't know. Okay.
you cad, you unfeeling cad.
He was keeping his struggles private.
Yeah, I know. I'm just busting your chops, gay.
Anyway, yeah. Oh, I forgot he passed. That's so sad.
Yeah. R.I.P.
Anyway, should we get into what people think?
What a way to end the episode.
I know. It's a downer, right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. He had prostate cancer in 2018.
Ah, poor guy.
Died from complications in 2021.
Okay, that's what we needed, more detail.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Let's really bring this episode down to the depths.
What was his name? I'm just only remembering it as Gunther right now.
Oh, shit. I just...
You just closed the window.
No, okay, I haven't. His name. I have it. James Michael Tyler.
Thank you. So yes. I knew it was like a multiple first name situation.
Yeah, like an assassin or something.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
anyway...
Blue Sky. Let's go to Blue Sky.
Let's go to Blue Sky. Let's find out what the folks said. We got Hot Helion. He says, "Hello, fellow nerds. Hope everyone is well. I loved this episode. Loved is in all caps. I went and listened to Busted, the sketch, about 10 times after that sketch. Ooh. There were no real misses for me. I'm glad Cam, no relations, is starting to find his footing, and it's true what she says about your first cast." This is something Olivia Rodrigo said in her monologue, I think.
Oh, right. The cast you grew up with is the one you love.
Right. The SNL cast you watched as a teenager. So Hot Helion says, "Mine was Jason Sudeikis, Andy Samberg, Bobby Moynihan, Jay Farrow, Nassim Pedrad time frame. I know you guys have said this in the past episodes, but who was your cast when you first started watching religiously? Also, even if you guys did not like the episode, I still love it. LOL. Love y'all.
Yay.
Peace. Heart."
Thank you. Thanks, Ehot. I think we've said before, like, we both came in, I think, at the same time. It's like the late 80s. So, like, we're the...
mid-late 80s.
Yeah. So we're like the Dana Carvey, Jan Hooks, Phil Hartman era.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I really started to, like, watch it pretty religiously.
I'd seen an episode or two in that season where it was like Billy Crystal, Christopher Guest, I think Marty Short was in there too.
Oh,
and that cast was only together for a year.
Yeah,
but I remember hearing kids talk about it at school, and I managed to like fool my babysitter into letting me stay up to watch it. And so I watched the odd episode of that season, but I didn't really start regularly watching it until like 86, 87.
Mm.
So that was when I would have been around 14, so I could stay up late on the weekends and watch it.
Yeah.
So yeah, Dana Carvey, Phil Hartman, John Lovitz, Jan Hooks.
Yeah.
That's my jam.
Yeah, I mean, some say that was one of the golden eras. Like, I would agree too. Like, I mean, a lot of people say that was one of the golden eras. Some people, you know, younger than us say the Kristen Wiig, Bill Hader, Sudeikis era was like another golden era.
Yeah, I mean, that's also... Yeah, it's wild to think. I've been watching this show for like nearly 40 years now.
Yeah, good chunk of our lives.
That's wild.
Mm-hmm.
That's weird. Wild. I don't think of it as being that long, but I do the math and it checks out.
Weird, so. Wild stuff.
Yeah, it is wild, wild stuff.
Yeah. So our good friend Nick Storr from across the pond, my Wordle buddy, Nick Storr, saying a solid B show. I had fears after the first few sketches. The Shop TV sketch seemed like a retread with a cake they used on the baking show sketches. Just wasn't feeling it until Ashley and then Andrew. A real bi-model episode with the second half better than the first. A little better than the SNL UK. Okay.
Is it bimodal or bimodal?
Bimodal?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Bimodal?
I don't know. I'm
bimodial? I don't know.
I know what Nick means. I'm just not ultra familiar with that word. So
I was just saying it and playing it off like I knew what it meant. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't look dumb.
Okay. You know, I'm cool with looking dumb at this point. What the hell?
Dare to be stupid.
S. Carr, who's at warmtakes.bluesky.social, says, late, but I love this episode. Ooh. Lava Cake had me crying. Brava, Olivia. Well, hey, people... you're not too late, and glad you liked it.
Yeah, a lot of people warmer on this than we were. Wow.
You really are. I'm kind of surprised.
Good. Stephen M. saying, Grand Savage, fun ep full of energy. The Edge of Destiny was the only real letdown of a bad early 90s sketch. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I can see that sort of early 90s energy in that.
Yeah, I can see that.
Let's see. We gotta do Just Me, right?
Yes.
Just Me. Love this episode, beginning with Kash Patel. How did he keep his eyes like that for so long? I found myself not blinking while I watched. Mm. Loved all of Olivia Rodrigo's songs, including the one about the DMV in the monologue. I almost never like Weekend Update guests, but I liked her.
Okay.
And if you went to bed before it ended, you missed one of the best sketches of the night, luring TikTokers desperate to go viral. I mean, I agree. That was a sketch of the night. Yeah, it sounds like people like totally enjoyed this episode way more than we did.
Wow. Yeah. Are we out of touch, or are they?
No, it's the children that are wrong.
Yes, there it is. Okay, good. That's what I thought.
We did also hear from one person, my friend Rob Kelly of the Fire and Water Podcast Network. He periodically messages us on Facebook because we are olds.
Yes.
And he talks about what he thought of the show. Often he's, you know, because I watch the show late these days. He's often like sending us his opinions before I've even watched it. So I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about yet, Rob. So yeah, he sent us a lot of opinions. He says, my favorite part of the cold open on this week's show, when they showed JAJ as a reporter, and I went, awesome, he can't be Trump now. I get it. Let's see. He says, couple of thoughts. Olivia Rodrigo jumping up after that dire stairs sketch and frantically waving hi to the audience and hearing people cheer was very charming, and I'm glad they didn't cut away from it. Some people are just effortlessly charming.
Don't I know?
Getting Debbie Harry, all caps, to interview you and wear a shirt with your name on it is a mega flex. I haven't been a fan of Cam Patterson, and he puts in parentheses, any relation this season?
No.
I don't know if that is a joke or not. I don't know. I don't know how much Rob has listened to the podcast, but no relation.
No relation.
I haven't been a fan of Cam Patterson this season, but his Weekend Update segments have been strong, and tonight's was my favorite.
Wow.
That really surprises me because, like, when Cam Patterson first joined the cast, Rob wrote us and he was like, oh, how could they get this Kill Tony guy on there? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about yet.
I haven't seen the episode yet. Again.
Haven't seen the episode. Haven't ever listened to Kill Tony. So I don't know this guy. I prefer to discover him through the show. And now Rob has turned around and I'm the opposite.
Wow. So, sliding doors.
Yeah. Let's see. Rob continues. I laughed more at the home security pre-tape than I did at every other sketch combined. Agreed.
Mm.
It's gobsmacking to me that it was buried at the very end of the show. This makes me think about Lauren's eventual departure. Mm. Part of me doesn't want him to leave because I think once he does, NBC's corporate politics will destroy the show.
Yeah.
That said, as far as we know, the one area Lauren is still hands-on is in the sketch lineup. Week after week, the show puts its weakest, dumbest stuff right up front. How could anyone see that pre-tape and not slot it further up? It was funny, and it was actually about something going on right now in 2026 America. I don't disagree. Should have been way, way up front in the show. Yeah.
Yeah, like you should put that up at the front, put Busted at the end. I don't know why it was at the back.
Yeah, much better.
But I don't know.
And the last thing he says, knowing Olivia Rodrigo can also do comedy, though the writers didn't help her out much, makes me put her in the John Hamm category.
Whoa.
Namely someone who God seems seem to bless with way too many natural advantages. Come on, leave something for the rest of us. Wow.
Whoa. Hey, man. Look,
strong disagree.
Look, we take in this house, we take the name of John Hamm very seriously. Okay.
Yeah.
The man's an icon, a legend, and a man amongst all men. So when you compare anybody to Big Bad John Hamm, you best to come correct.
I mean, there's John Hamm, and then there's the rest of us. And exactly. I personally would not put Olivia Rodrigo anywhere near his league.
I would not either. I mean, I thought she was fine. I thought she was very charming. Yeah, she was maybe like on the level of like Sabrina Carpenter or something like that. I thought she was good. She was fine.
She seems nice. I think Sabrina Carpenter was a stronger host, certainly. I'm kind of wary of the musical guests becoming hosts again, because it feels like the show is always trying to discover a new Justin Timberlake.
Mm.
Like somebody who is a popular musical guest, and then he comes on as a host and he just freaking kills it and he becomes like one of the all-time greats.
Yeah, I feel like they were trying to do that with Halsey for a little bit.
With Halsey, with Charlie XCX, and I don't know. Like they're trying to make Fetch happen.
Yeah.
And,
I mean, Billie Eilish they try to do it with her too.
Yeah, and I don't. It just seems like diminishing returns because So I don't get it. I don't think Olivia Rodrigo was all that strong of a host.
I'm sure she's
a perfectly nice person. She's probably a fun hang backstage, even though Lorne is like, who is this person wandering the halls this week? But no, I don't want to see her return as the host.
Yeah. Like, I wouldn't mind seeing her come back. I thought she was fine. I thought she was nice. I thought she was great. You know, she energetic, game for everything. But John Hamm level, that's insane. That's, you know. No offense, Rob Kelly, but that's you're a madman, and that was an insane thing to say.
Look, I mean, Rob, love you as a person. Love hearing your opinions. I can't co-sign on that.
Yeah. No offense, Rob. We love you, but you're out of your goddamn mind and get out of our lives.
But we seem to really be in the minority. People really enjoyed this episode more than we did. So
how can so many people be so wrong and we be so right?
I don't know. That's the eternal mystery of this podcast. I mean, our opinions are always the objectively correct ones.
Yes.
I mean, we know this.
Yes.
We know this.
Yes.
We know this.
We know this. Oh,
by the way, did you notice Michael Che's little shout out to Kate during Weekend Update?
No, I don't think I did.
He did an impression of somebody, and he was like, "Oh yeah, I was trying to do Kate."
Oh, and, I totally missed that.
Yeah, it was a little Kate McKinnon shout out. I was like, "Oh, that's nice." And I wish I remember who he was doing an impression of now. But
okay, all right. Well, yeah. I'll go back and watch. Okay,
go back and watch Update for a third time.
Will do.
Patterson, no relation.
You got it, dude. And that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, you can follow us on the Blue Skies at SNL Nerds. You can listen to us on all the platforms where you listen to your podcasts. We got our YouTube page up at non-productive.com.
Just search for like SNL Nerds on YouTube, or SNL Nerds plus Non-Productive, or SNL Nerds and our names, and you can find it. It's a whole archive of the podcast. There's lots of fun listening there.
Yeah, and you can find me on all the socials at Darren Credible, D-A-R-I-N Credible. Credible is not my last name.
Agree to disagree. You can find me on my socials at Trumbull Comic. That's my last name, Trumbull, T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L, and the word comic. The way a social media handle should be. I will die on this hill. God damn it.
I play by the rules. I'm not like this rabble rouser who just creates his own rules willy nilly. Like Amadeus, just playing the piano like all haphazard.
So you really don't open the show with "I'm your host, Darren Credible"?
No.
Because that's what I hear every week.
That's not.
I tend to tune out what you say a good 75% of the time, but. Could have sworn you said it was Darren Credible.
I've never ever said that. Never.
Okay.
This is
agree to disagree.
We gotta work on our communication, John. See, we've talked about this in therapy.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Oh god. Next week we got hosting Matt Damon coming in
for Matt Damon.
I think a third time, I believe he's hosting. And
let's say three. Yeah.
Three. And I believe it's third time. Musical guest Noah Kahan. Coming in for a second time.
Kahn!
Yeah. Noah Kahn. Let me rock you, Noah Kahn.
Now, yeah, see, I go to Shatter, you go to Shatter Kahn. See, this is where we're not connecting. We'll bring this up in group this week.
Yes, please do.
Yeah. So, Darren and I, we're going to go into couples therapy again. You know, maybe this time it'll take. But we'll be back next week telling you what we thought about Matt Damon and Noah Kahn. And hopefully we'll like it better than this week. We'll find out together. But until then, nerds out!
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.